The reading this morning is from Acts chapter 6, starting at verse 1. The choosing of the seven. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Karen, with all those funny names. Well done. Good morning. Well, it's a big day for Remy, is it not? A big day on her journey of faith. And today she's a small child, but she won't stay that way, that's for sure. I wonder what she'll be in the years to come when she grows up. A bank manager, maybe, or a stockbroker, a journalist perhaps, a fashion designer, a film star. Will she be rich and famous? Well, we don't know. We'll wait and see. But what if she were none of those things? What if she were content to be, say, a waiter, because she simply liked meeting people and was happy to serve them? I'm sure that she would be loved to bits by her family and friends, regardless of whatever she did. But what would the world make of it? I mean, what I mean is that in the world in which we live in our society, there's people who've made it in life, and there's people who haven't. There's people who've done well for themselves, and there's people who haven't. There's people who've made it, and there are those who never will. There's people who have reached the top, and there are those who are stuck at the bottom. Isn't that how the world sees things? In reality, getting to the top isn't all that it might seem. The late Freddie Mercury was a songwriter and the lead singer of the pop group Queen. By the time of his death, at the age of 45, he was idolised by millions and amassed a fortune of over £40 million. And he once said, "Can you imagine how terrible it is when you've got everything and you're still desperately lonely? That is awful, beyond words." Then again, the top people can also be the top servants. A case in point is the Prime Minister, believe it or not. Now, Prime Minister is the head of government and he wields great authority in this nation. But the Prime Minister is expected to go and see the King every week for a private audience. I'm sure he's expected to bow in the King's presence as he arrives. Then they sit and chat, and no doubt he answers questions. And somebody said recently, it's a humbling reminder that the Prime Minister is the servant of the people. You know, God sees things very differently to the way the world sees things. In his kingdom, everything is what you might call topsy-turvy. It's the other way up. In the Bible, people at the bottom are often the most favoured and the most honoured, whereas those at the top are the ones who tend to miss out. And to God, being a servant is something very, very special. Which brings us to our Bible reading taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles that Karen read to us. It's the book that recalls the story of the early church as it was about 2,000 years ago. The church back then was growing at an enormous rate. And we read even Jewish priests were becoming Christians. The religious elite were humbling themselves and turning to Jesus Christ. And that's no bad thing at all. But with church growth came a very practical down-to-earth problem. Within the church, there were widows who couldn't afford to survive on their own. And so the church provided a first century food bank of sorts like those we have today. Some widows were local Jews who spoke Aramaic, which is like Hebrew. And some were possibly immigrants from abroad and spoke Greek. The Greek-speaking widows thought they were missing out and they complained about it. Yes, there was even grumbling in the first century church. The problem was the 12 apostles couldn't preach the gospel and run the food bank. They just didn't have the time, so they had a church meeting to discuss the problem. And then 7 men who were full of the Holy Spirit were chosen to oversee this distribution of food to the widows. So as well as being very practical, they were also very spiritual, and that's important. They weren't going to serve and do all this waiting in their own strength. They were going to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Were they successful? Well, most probably. This was a very wise and shrewd appointment. You see, all 7 men had Greek names, and so just the right sort of background to help these Greek ladies. But notice they were leaders in the church, and yet they were humbly serving others. Now, you see, being a servant is more than doing a specific job. It's an attitude to others. I'll say it again. Being a servant is more than doing a specific job. It's an attitude to others. Anyone can have a servant heart, whether they're in the church or outside, doing ordinary jobs or whatever. So what about you and me today? And to come to think of it, baby Remy, why should Christians serve other people? After all, it's much nicer when other people serve us. You know, with Christmas fast approaching, the thought of being served is kind of nice. Well, there's many, many reasons, but there's a summary. Here's a summary of some of the main ones. And it's at the very heart of what I feel led to say this morning. Why should we serve others? Well, firstly, when we serve others, we are following the example of Jesus Christ. We'll shortly be celebrating the birth of Jesus as we hear the familiar Christmas story. We shall listen, of course, to Bible readings about Mary and Joseph, shepherds and the wise men. But, you know, the story began much earlier. In fact, it began with a decision made in heaven itself. Listen to this extract from St. Paul's letter to the church at a place called Philippi. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And notice Jesus had the highest place in heaven where he was said to be equal with God. So if anyone deserved to be served by others, it was, of course, Jesus himself. Yet he chose to give up his place in heaven to come to us as a baby and grow up to be a servant. And actually the word servant used here in the New Testament means slave, and the most menial slave at that. And to underline the point, years later, some of Jesus' disciples were arguing about who was getting a top place in heaven, who is going to be at the top rather than at the bottom. And Jesus shocked them by saying this. We see it in Mark's Gospel. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then a short time later, just before his crucifixion, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. It was a rotten job, usually given to the lowest slave. And yet Jesus did it, and he said this. You understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. You know, when I became the associate minister at my last church, I was inducted into that job by the Bishop of Barking. And at one point in the service, he asked me to sit down and to take off my socks and shoes. Fortunately, I had clean socks on with no holes in. And then he knelt and he washed my feet. It was a simple and moving reminder that church leaders, and indeed all of us, are to follow the example of Jesus Christ and to serve each other, even in doing the most humble of jobs. And I've tried to take that lesson to heart ever since. You know, some years ago, I was invited to hold a healing service at another church, which involved leading the service itself, preaching, and praying for sick people, because we do believe that the Lord heals today. When I arrived, I needed to go to the loo, and I noticed it was absolutely filthy, so I got a brush and I cleaned it. And why not? You know, whether you're up here preaching or cleaning the toilets, it's all ministry, it's all service. In fact, really, it's all on the same sort of level. So when we serve others, we are following Jesus' example. But why else should we serve? Well, when we serve others, we are being obedient to God. This morning we prayed for Remy, and we all hope she'll grow up to be a fine woman of God. And we hope that she'll grow in faith and discover God's plan for her life. Yes, God has a plan for Remy and for all of us here this morning. You know that. Have you discovered yet God's plan for you and for your life, your future? This is what St. Paul said to the Christians, in a place called Ephesus. He wrote this. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that's an amazing statement. That's something to think about, isn't it? What do you see when you look in the mirror? Don't tell me a few more spots and wrinkles you could really do without. What you see in the mirror is God's piece of work, or as some translations call it, his masterpiece. Okay? And that's you and me. And there's a special job only you can do. So, godparents, please make note of that and tell Remy when she's older, won't you? To another church, St. Paul also wrote to its members, Galatians chapter 5, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. part of God's plan for our lives. So when we serve others, we are following the example of Jesus and we are being obedient to God. So how do you feel about that? Well, maybe not too sure. But you know, when we serve others, we become much blessed by God. Did you know whenever you do something in the Lord's service, and whenever we give, serve, or do something for others and for God, we get back. And you can't outgive God. It's one of the principles of living in his kingdom. Again, St. Paul once said, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it really is. On Christmas Day, 2005, I had an experience I'll never forget. I was living on my own at the time, so I decided to spend Christmas morning touring the wards at Queen's Hospital and meeting the patients. And the hospital wanted a priest who could give the patients Holy Communion, but in all honesty, a lot of them just wanted somebody to speak to. It was quite a privilege and quite humbling, really. As I recall it, I wasn't supposed to have any physical contact with the patients, but some of them knew, as I knew, this was to be their last Christmas on earth. And when they wanted to shake my hand, it was very, very difficult to refuse. And then I met this lovely old lady in her 80s who told me a bit about her life story. Apparently, she became a Christian when she was 18 years of age, and she joined the Salvation Army. Then she trained to become a nurse and spent the whole of her working life nursing others. And then when she retired, she became a voluntary worker in the health sector until time finally caught up with her. Now, here she was in the twilight of her life. I don't suppose she was rich as the world sees it, but she was rich in the ways that really count. She was warm. She was friendly. She was gracious, peaceful, contented. And there was something about her. There was a kind of serenity and an inner glow radiating from her. She had lived her life in the service of others as God had planned for her. Her life was complete on earth, and the best was yet to come. It was a privilege for me to be with her, and I prayed for her and left. I never saw her again. I suspect she went to heaven a long time ago. And then heard the words of Jesus say to her, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, my beloved sister." Of course, not all of us are called to serve like that, in that way. But all of us can find joy in God's service in whatever we do. And remember the secret of joy. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. So, why then should we serve others? As I've said, because when we serve others, we are following the example of Jesus. Because when we serve others, we are being obedient to God. And because when we serve others, we become much blessed by God. And again, lastly, when we serve others, we're actually doing something for Jesus himself. Now, Jesus once told a story about the time in future when he will return to this earth and return not as a baby or as a servant, but as our king. And the righteous and the unrighteous would appear before him. In the story, the righteous didn't know why they were being rewarded. And so he replied, and listen to this, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit? Is it you?" And the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Just thinking about the implications of that can change our attitude to others and bring about a complete revolution in our lives. You see, if we understand that Jesus identifies with needy people, then it becomes a joy to serve them. And again, to realise why it's so important to serve the needy, our future depends upon it. So right now, living in the present, there's choices that we have to make every single day of our lives. We can choose just to think of ourselves and say, use people to get what we want. And that's a self-centered life that heads nowhere and actually leaves us feeling kind of empty. Or we can choose each day to live as a follower of Jesus Christ, trusting him for our needs and also meeting the needs of others as we discover his will and plan for our lives. You know, Remy will need to make choices as she grows older and needs parents, godparents and others who help her to make the right choices. And you and I need help too in making choices every day as Christians. Perhaps like me, you use this devotional aid. It's called Word for Today, and there's a verse of scripture and there's some thoughts there every single day. And last Wednesday there was a prayer which seemed to sort of fit into all that we're about this morning, so I'm going to pray that prayer right now. And if you want to, you can say Amen at the end and make it your own prayer. Father, I'm tired of going through life with no real purpose because it brings no glory to you. You created every living thing, including me, that they may bring you pleasure. I know that you have a specific job for me to do. Your word says you formed me in the womb to be your servant. I'm getting lots of input from other people, but I need to know the path you have chosen for me. Help me to stop ignoring and minimizing the gifts and talents you have invested in me, acting like they're of no significance. I know we are all called to serve, and I need your help to discern who, where, when, and how I should serve. I want to do what you have destined me to do, and not be sidetracked by wrong priorities, busy work, or other people's desires and demands. At the end of my life, I want to be able to look back and say like Jesus, I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you have told me to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.